You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are with Shazmin Shamsuddin, and on The Big Picture this hour, I have author Jamila Samian. She wrote Cool Moms, Super Dads, and welcome back to the show, Jamila.
Thank you, Shazmin.
Okay,
I'm happy to be back.
Well, we're happy to have you. Today's topic, actually, if you grew up in a household of more than one child, or you have kids, well, more than one kid, I'm sure you're quite familiar with this issue that, you know, tends to touch most families of more than one child. It's sibling rivalry. I think everyone knows what sibling rivalry is, but yeah, how do you think kids experience or perceive sibling rivalry?
Well, sibling rivalry is a feeling of discontent that a child feels because he perceives that he is getting less of something that he deserves, and he feels that his brothers and sisters are getting more of the same thing.
Right.
So it could be anything. It could be parental love, attention, even basic things like food.
That's so cruel.
Better grades.
Oh, yeah, right.
It could be anything.
Right.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. So is this normal? Is this just a normal, you know, thing that kids experience if they have more than, obviously, if they're not an only child?
Yes, yes. It is. It is normal. And this feeling of discontentment, if it is not addressed in an appropriate and timely fashion, it will just breed into envy, jealousy, and might just spark off the bitter side of sibling rivalry.
Right.
Yes, it can, you know, as children grow up into adults, it will sour their relationship, to no end.
Right. Okay. Now, if it is just sort of normal, it's a normal part of family life, do we really need to address it? Because, you know, kids, they will sort themselves out, won't they?
Yes and no. There are certain conditions that we could just leave them to just somehow settle on their own. But sibling rivalry, by and by, is not something that we should just ignore. The reason is that, well, there are multi reasons for it. First of all, we want to help brothers and sisters become friends instead of rivals. And we want to help kids become assertive, confident, cooperative, compassionate rather than aggressive when they feel that they are, you know, they are not being fairly treated. And apart from that, we want kids to be altruistic. They get more satisfaction out of knowing that they are contributing to the well-being of the family rather than one-upping one another, rather than they try to get even with one another.
I don't know, though. I've seen some kids. They look like they're having fun on the one-upmanship or getting evenship.
And we don't want kids to get stuck forever on who's right, who is wrong,
who's better, who's less,
you see. Because a harmonious family is a happy family, and we want kids who want to be there for each other when we are not around, especially when we're not around.
Right. Okay, so how do we, wait, before we get to the hows, what about some of the predictable and preventable sibling conflicts?
What are those? That's an interesting question, because some people say, well, they are going to experience it, we might as well just leave it as it is. But the fact is that there are certain kinds of sibling rivalries which are predictable, and therefore, by being predictable, we can prevent them. Even if we can't really get rid of them totally, we can diminish the effects.
What is that then?
I'll give three specific examples for today's discussion. First of all is the arrival of a new baby.
Oh, okay. Duh. Okay, yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one, a very common one. How the feelings of the older sibling need to be tempered, you know, need to be paid attention to, especially when relatives come and shower, you know, all
attention,
kinds of attention,
yeah,
and
praise
gives to the new baby. Wow, what a gorgeous baby. And sometimes you can just see the older sibling, he or she just wilts, you know. And suddenly you're up high on that pedestal, push, down to the valley. That's one. And number two is conflict on sharing toys.
Okay.
Personal property. And the third one is conflict over a younger child's wish to be included in a play when an older sibling has friends visiting.
Okay. Getting back to the first conflict, which is the arrival of a new baby, how do we prepare the older sibling or siblings, you know, for the inevitable arrival?
Let's have a hypothetical situation, an example that I think will best illustrate what can be done. let's say we have a family of three, mom, dad, and Amir, boy named Amir. And Amir is almost three when mom discovers that she's pregnant, expecting another baby. So the prospect of becoming a big brother or sister for any child, a child of any age, is usually very exciting.
Oh, yeah, initially.
Well, usually, initially.
For nine months, yeah. And then it goes downhill, I tell you.
You have experience, you know.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so his parents begin by showing him a scan of the baby. Mm-hmm. And he tells, they tell Amir, this is your little brother or little sister. She will be coming soon to our life. Mm-hmm. How about you keeping this photograph, the scan of the baby, in your room? So Amir happily keeps it in his room. And mom lets Amir listen to the heartbeat of the baby from 6 months onwards. They spend time together reading books about...
So there's a connection,
There is a connection, an emotional connection. It's not like a bombshell being, boom, suddenly dropped, yeah?
Here you go, yes, your baby sister.
And besides that, Amir, you know, by that time, he's about to sleep in his own bed. So instead of waiting until the baby arrives and suddenly, the crib is no longer yours, you know, they start getting him another bed and say, you're a big boy and mom and dad are so proud of you. You're able to sleep on your own bed. Mm-hmm. So when the baby arrives, he has already started sleeping in his own bed. And there is a very interesting thing here. What mom and did was that when the baby's born, they bought Amir a little present, but they said it's from your
little baby.
Yes, from the baby, because she loves you very much.
Okay.
So you can imagine how that little boy called Amir feels. You see, wow, getting a baby means that I get special attention too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, what about relatives? You know, they do, you know, when a new baby's on the scene, and they, you know, offer to perhaps take care of your older child while you, you know, get sort of... readjusting to the whole, mothering again.
Especially if you don't have a maid. And
yeah, exactly. Yes, now, is this something you should definitely consider, the extra help?
You have to be careful with that. Because, well, first of all, of course we need help, especially when we have just gotten a baby. But perhaps it's good to talk to the child. What is the reason you need to send him or her away? Mm-hmm. And make it mutual. If it's so much against it, then probably the best thing is to try to get somebody to live in the house.
Right.
Rather than just sending him away.
Then
because
he
don't
might
want,
feel
you know,
that
unwanted.
He was being kicked out of the house. Yeah. Okay. Mm. And what about some creative ways to keep an older sibling occupied when you're nursing a newborn baby?
Mm. This is helpful, especially when the older child is still a toddler, below the age of 3, 2+, for example. Well, certainly the older child will feel upset, especially when mom is nursing the little newborn and, no attention is paid to me. So what mom could do is just to create a little box for the toddler, the older child, and call it the nursing box, and you could put some snacks and some toys, maybe a baby book or glitter. You can decorate it with glitter. And these toys and snacks, the toddler can have only when little baby is nursing. So at least.
So it's a nursing box.
Yes, it's called a nursing box.
It's exciting stuff that only comes out when the baby's on the boobie.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. What about acknowledging? What about, you know, everyone has these ambivalent feelings. I'm sure little kids do when they see a new baby in the house.
They will. They do. Yeah.
It's love hate, you know.
Love hate. It's a mixed kind of feelings. It comes out like, oh, I don't want a baby. Throw her away. And then suddenly when grandma comes, why don't I bring the baby with me? No, it's my baby. So you can see the mixture of, you know, hate and love.
How do you deal with that?
Instead of telling the older sibling, no, you don't hate her. She's your sister.
Yeah.
You know, we need to acknowledge that feeling and accept the feeling as it is, saying rather than, you know, you need to say something like, sometimes you love the baby and sometimes you wish that she would just go away and disappear.
Right. Acknowledge the feelings, of your child.
Acknowledge the feelings, And it's very important that mom and dad spend some uninterrupted time with the older child to, you know, to fulfill that need.
Yes.
To be just with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. And if ever the child says something negative about the baby, you can say something like, I'm glad we are alone together. And yeah, I suppose it can be quite a pain in the neck when you have a little sister and you have to share your toys, share your stuff, share this, share that, even your mother or your father. Yes, okay. It can be quite upsetting.
All right, let's get back to conflict number two, sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do you sort out this type of sibling rivalry?
Yeah. Okay, say we have two siblings, Anna, age 5, and Lisa, age 3. And Anna is playing with her doll, her favorite doll. Mm-hmm. And suddenly Lisa appears and tries to grab it out of Anna's hands.
It happens all the time, yes.
That happens all the time. And we go, Anna, you're a big girl. Please give that to your sister.
All the time, yeah. Poor Anna.
Poor Anna. Well, I would like to suggest that instead of doing that, we acknowledge, we respect the older child's feelings and respect her rights to her property.
Okay.
Because right now it may appear to be a doll, but it's her rights to her property. Mm-hmm. That's hers. So we have to quickly remind the younger child, Lisa, who is 3. Lisa, that doll is Anna's. And then we turn to the older child, who is Anna, and say, Anna, this is your doll. You do not have to share it with anyone if you do not want to. Mm-hmm. But right now, your little sister Lisa is very sad. Do you think you could give her something else?
Mm-hmm.
You see, the thing is that children in general are very sweet and generous. It's just that when they are suddenly panicked and frustrated, you know, when they are forced to give something that is very dear to them, they just start misbehaving. They just can't think.
Right.
Yeah. So the moment Anna takes something and gives to her sister, then we recognize her for that effort. Thank you very much.
Basically, it's passing control to Anna to, do the right thing, perhaps.
Yes, do the right thing, yeah.
Okay. What about the third type of sibling rivalry, conflict over younger kids' demands to be included in the activities and play of an older child?
Yeah. Sometimes we may be tempted to say, hey, come on, he's your brother. You should play with him. But it's not really helpful that way, because when we come to think of it, imagine ourselves, put ourselves in that situation. I don't think it's going to work out. It's just going to help more resentment breed against the older brother. I mean, in the older brother towards the younger sister, for example. So the best way is to just let the older sibling play. And we can't help it. Either we have a baby sister or we ourselves take care of the younger sibling.
Entertain the younger sibling.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Now, there are internal and external contributors to sibling rivalry. What are they?
Okay. There are many, of course, but for the sake of today's discussion, we will just discuss two kinds of internal contributors, which are very common. Favoritism and making comparisons.
Right.
Yeah. Playing favorites among your children. There are two kinds of favoritism. Blatant favoritism and subtle favoritism.
Okay.
Well, blatant favoritism is very easy to see. For example, if you are a parent and you place very high importance on academics and you have got a child who excels in everything, getting straight A's, getting the good grades year in, year out, you might tend to talk more about her talents, about her achievements, and you will just ignore, you see, the talents and achievements of the other siblings might just go unnoticed, although they may be good in sports, in public speaking, and whatnot. So that's not a very healthy thing to do as a parent. And or another example is if you have got 2 daughters and you perceive beauty is to the eyes of the beholder.
That's true,
right?
That's true.
You feel that one is fairer or more beautiful than the other, and you start spending more time buying her clothes, trying to make her more, more presentable and things like that. It will hurt the other child's feelings.
I know a lot of parents who unintentionally do
unintentionally.
This.
Unintentionally. Yeah. The thing is, sibling rivalry is encouraged by parents unwittingly in many occasions.
Okay, so this is subtle.
Now, this is subtle. Next, we move to subtle. Now, subtle favoritism is more difficult to detect.
Okay.
And the thing is that we parents, being human, sometimes we can't help, you know. Maybe we tend to talk to a child more. We might feel more comfortable with a child to share things, maybe because of the personality and so on and so forth. It's possible. But when we are aware that the fact is that kids are top-notch observers, You know, if they observe how you talk, your facial expressions, the tone of your voice, and will start wondering, how come
she's like
mom
this, yeah.
talks to Danny, her face just lights up, for example. You see, it's very, of course, it's very difficult and we can't be perfect, but just by being aware of it, mm-hmm. perhaps that would put us on our guard.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.